All right. It might have to be a happy medium that if it was something when they were 17-year-old or something in the past, then after a number of years you forget about it or whatever, but that's a problem the QPS will face. Andrew, did you want to make a comment on this? I've thrown back a couple of times as to what you said this morning, so I should give you the opportunity now.
I think there's a distinction that there's actually three. You've got QuadCIPs, PLOs and community police. Community yes. police that operate in Aracoon are funded by the Aracoon Shire Council.
That's right.
With a top-up, so...
CDP is going too.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I've just been in those negotiations. Mm. And with our community police in Aracoon... Well, sorry. With the community police in Aracoon, I've been trying to negotiate with them to get training packages so that they can stay on, so that they can fulfil part of their CDP and also develop skills that maybe will assist them in becoming PLOs. One of the biggest hurdles is criminal histories. Mr. Marquette brings up about criminal histories. Indigenous communities, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, once you go and do jail for an offence, it's almost like it's forgotten, like when they come back. But a lot of them are on parole and probation. They come back, they've got no skills, they've been incarcerated, and they've lost their driver's licence. So they're coming back with a no-win situation. So as the officer in charge, I approached the families for the offence, if it was a violent offence, to see what their opinion was. I approached probation and parole, and I placed them on as a community police officer. Firstly, for a number of reasons. Firstly, that they get an income. They're on 2 days a week CDP. Secondly, they can be reintroduced back in the community. Thirdly, as part of my obligation as officer in charge, I've got to breath test them. They have to attend the police station Monday to Friday, so they're doing that. And I've got a good monitoring of it, which assists in community corrections. And also, the role is that these people pay back into the community because they're not actually community police. They're like community liaison officers. When child safety come into town, they run the child safety people around. When legal services come into town, they run legal services around. When court's on, they do the notification for court and they become an active member of the community and reintegrate themselves. Mm. So whilst, they've got some criminal history against them, we've got to assist them back in the reintegration back into the community. But also they're a valid and viable asset to the police because these gentlemen they've got extensive knowledge of the community and we can pass that on. And I see that that community police are an integral part. And it's just that the way they're structured at the moment, like the council pays for them, so they're not really under the police control.
Mm-hmm. That's a marvellous example of lateral thinking. If there's someone you want to keep an eye on who's on parole, you put him working there. Yeah?
Mr. Chair, you have to be aware of the fact that there's a big question about cost shifting at the moment, and all local governments are under review, especially the Indigenous ones, with the welfare reform and a few other things. So,
I'm very aware of the situation with CDEP being looked at being phased out. That's another issue that's in the melting pot as well. Mm.